What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Whatever you're into, with Amazon Prime, you can go deep. So if you're all about pop right now, you could watch pop documentaries on Prime Video. Discover pop playlists on Amazon Music Prime. And if you're really serious, order a rhyming dictionary with fast free shipping from Prime. From shopping to streaming to saving, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
I love driving with Uber because I have access to 24/7 live support. As a female driver, I need to feel protected. Uber has my back for sure. Uber, earn like a boss. Sign up to earn today at uber.com/boss.
Forever Dog.
Like, I will say, I think I brought it up on this podcast before, but this movie touched on, like, for me, I don't know if it's a black thing, but, like, how black people are treated in the medical system. Like, you know, when me and my partner had our medical emergency, like, the way I was particularly treated was a big thing. It was, like, almost like I was treated like the villain. It was like, wasn't allowed anywhere near the ambulance, wasn't allowed like in the back, even though my name was on the emergency contact, like the doctor wouldn't give me right. information.
But because you weren't family.
Yeah, but the thing is, but legally, whoever's on that emergency contact should be able to get that information.
And oh, is that
I
true?
I was, yes, and I was. And then even on top of that, when I finally was let in the back, I was able to see, like, I had to get a doctor removed because literally, you know, a partner is in pain and, like, the nurse is like, hey, she's in pain here. This white dude doctor is, like, trying to test it and is, like, pushing aggressively down. So much so that I thought it was a problem, but I'm looking at the nurses, the female nurses, who, like, are now up in arms. And I'm like, this... I know people heard Serena Williams talk about it. People heard Beyonce, like famous rich black women talk about this stuff. And like being in a room where it's like these doctors were supposed to take care of us and, mm-hmm. you know, our women and things of that nature and just saw the disregard for pain that this black woman had. And the thing that's so funny is I watched that same doctor go across like an emergency room. They had kind of like, you know, just a little curtains. So I could see him go over to this white girl. And like was super fucking gentle. Like his cadence was different.
Wow.
His physicality was different. And it was something that, again, not only did I peep, but like this nurse, you know, God bless her, helped me file a complaint and get him removed. You know what I'm saying? So we had to bring in a black woman and this Asian doctor. And this is like a life-threatening situation. And I'm looking at this white dude and I'm like, if I wasn't here, God knows what this little motherfucker would have done. And also, how many times has this happened? You know, like we're not rich and I'm looking like, I've heard Beyonce, one of the probably the most famous black women outside of Michelle Obama, talk about the same thing as she's experienced it. Serena Williams, probably one of the most famous athletes who will ever live, talks about the same thing. And even in this movie, you know, when he talks about how he wasn't even allowed to be in the room, that is not the case for everybody. Yeah. And I just wonder, like, what is it? You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I feel like it's such a disregard for blackness. And I know we talk about it all the time, but it happens in so many small ways. And that is a major way, especially when, like, you're going to the place for help. You know what I mean? Like, you're literally, you only go to the hospital, especially, no one goes to the ER for a good reason. Like, that's not the place you just drop in to be like, let me get this checkup. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like,
I go to parties sometimes, but yeah. Yeah,
you go party in that joke?
No, yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes it's just like
every now and then.
It be the spot sometimes.
Do you party in the front or do you party in the back?
In the back.
Come on, brother.
See, I had to wait an hour before I got in the back. I didn't know.
That's the VIP section.
They had the curtains and they had the waters.
Yeah,
I didn't get no water either.
You got a lot of curtains, man.
It's yeah. Nice. They didn't have a curtain when I went in the back. They just left that drink wide open and I got no water.
Okay.
Damn.
No water, man. You gotta get the fluids.
But yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's the positive code open, but I was like, it's just one thing I could not take away from while watching this movie. It's like, it's so trash. It's so trash.
Yeah.
And like, you can't complain because who you gonna complain to? Like, literally, I'm pretty sure I found a formal complaint. Right. And I'm pretty sure that doctor is still a doctor somewhere. Like,
right. Well, of course. He just didn't work with you that time.
Yeah. But that dude probably was it. Probably did it to more people after I left. You know what I'm saying? Even after the complaint was filed and was like registered. I was like, I want to make sure it's on record. And it's like, that dude probably, nothing happened. Didn't get no docking pay.
Well,
didn't have to go to no classes.
Like, you know, we're so dependent on doctors and they hold such a position of authority. You know what I mean? And so you kind of, it's like, I mean, it's what like cops should be, right? Like, it's like there are these people who you're like, oh, I'm supposed to trust you, you know, that you have my best interests, you know, at heart. And then you realize that they don't. And then it's weird because it's like, it feels hard for somebody who didn't go to medical school to argue with a doctor. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I feel like this isn't right, but like, it's hard. I'm like, I don't have a medical degree.
Yeah.
You kind of know, but also this doesn't, you know, like you're right. Like, who do you go to? I don't know. I'm lucky enough to not have had any experiences like that, but I know Tessa has that all the time. And especially because she, you know, does have an understanding of to some degree of like medicine and stuff, and has to like fight with doctors who like, you know, because like doctors will not believe black people and black women, especially, I think.
That's insane. It feels so purposeful. It's like, it almost like, I hate to say this, but it's like, I don't expect a lot of respect from certain people just based on what my skin looks like. And even if they see I have a tattoo, I already know, like, depending on where you're from, like, I'm prepared for whatever. But to me, it's like the way specifically the medical community treats black women, I personally don't understand, like, what.
Yeah.
It feels like purposeful in a way. It's like, I don't know, man. And they don't do that to every other race. Like, it's not like they do it to, like, just women in general. It's like, no, this is, they do this bullshit to
black
women.
I do think to a degree, it is like women in general. And then it's even worse, right? Like, it's even worse with black women. And then, like, as you saw, like, how you were treated versus like how there was a white woman that came in, you know.
I mean, don't get it twisted.
Who taught these people, man? Where their fatherhood?
I mean, fatherhood's a tough one, Bray. That's a tough one. I probably should have told the story.
I'm just saying, who raised them? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see where their fatherhood.
Where their fatherhood?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you learn a lot from somebody's lineage. If you know where their fatherhood...
Just don't say it another time like it's supposed to make
Are you trying to say, like, fatherhood, like where fathers live or something?
Yeah, like where their fatherhood at.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Where they come from? Where is their fatherhood?
You actually don't even like this transition, do you, Bray? Like, I feel like you don't even like this.
With each new line, he feels even better about it.
No, I don't know if he likes this.
I want to know, you know, because my dad grew up in Cleveland, but these doctors wear their fatherhood.
Okay. All right. Well, let's, why don't we just transition into the show now?
Now I'm understanding why this guy gave us a 4 stars for the transition. All right, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Hey, you got up there and you talked, man. You talked. I thought you might have written something down. I thought you might have written something down first, but you got up there and you spoke your mind.
Hey, man, that's a pretty good rail. That's a pretty good rail, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate
that's a
pretty
good rail.
Yeah,
thank
man. You. Honestly, yeah. Good job.
Good job.
That was thank pleasant.
You. I'll take mm-hmm. that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. He's got a distinctive accent. I wonder where his fatherhood.
Wow.
Stop. Why are you doing that?
We already out of this.
Well, I need to do it just again. In case. I just said it again because I think I know some people skip the transition and I wanted them to. No, some people just skip ahead. They hear they're like, I don't like this cold open. So I wanted them to hear what the cold open was.
You can't call me so petty. This is
you know, just in case. It's just like gotcha, you know. you try to miss it, but I got you. Fatherhood. Okay, there we go.
Oh, that's so funny.
Anyway, this hilarious voice that you're listening to, you know. You might be thinking, is that Dave Chappelle? No, it's not.
Wait,
it's
what?
No, just because of how funny it is, you know, not because of the sound, but you're like, that's funny. I'm thinking Dave Chappelle. No, this voice is Jonathan Braylock.
Okay. Oh, my God. All right. This tired voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
It's way too slow.
You know, but it was pleasant. It was like, that was like a little soothing okay. voice. That was calm. Thank you. No squeaks.
I tried. No. I tried to limit the squeaks. Yeah. This is going to be a limited squeaks episode.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
This is a film. This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 2021 film Fatherhood, Netflix film starring Kevin Hart. I think it was only really Netflix exclusive, wasn't yep. released in theaters. So no box office. But it does have a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's fresh. 69% audience score. Yeah, it's also starring Lil Rel. We got, of course, Alfre Woodard in here. And let's see, who's this little girl?
Melody Hurt. From Battle
She's
at
so
Big
good.
Rock.
Hey, She's so good.
The Jurassic oh, World Universe represent.
What's that? What's Battle at
Battle
Big Rock?
Battle at Big Rock, the short film they made like 2 years ago.
Oh, she's the daughter in it?
She's the daughter in it. She's the one with the crossbow.
Oh, that's fire. Good for her.
Okay. Yeah.
We had DeWanda Wise.
DeWanda Wise.
Yeah, she was great.
Anthony Carrigan, who's in Barry.
Yes, NoHo Hank.
And Frankie Faison, of course.
Oh, Deborah. Yes. Deborah, how do you pronounce her last name?
Arundhati.
She, I knew she looked familiar. She's in Them. That Amazon show.
So is Melody.
No, they don't have that poor little girl in that show. Is she really?
I believe so.
No.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
No.
I didn't see it, but she's also in it. Yes.
No.
Yeah.
She plays Gracie.
Don't have that girl in that show.
Well, she is.
She's too sweet.
What is this Battle at Big Rock? I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's a short film. Andre Holland's in it also. It's just like people going camping and then they get run up on by dinosaurs. It's like a short little 8-minute thing.
Are they in the movie? In the new movie?
I don't think they're cast in the movie, but I think it gives you sort of a sense of like what that movie's going to be like.
Like teasing this next film?
Yes, but also
they made a short
I do think that there's
that?
A series in development that's like going to potentially be like people dealing with it in the real world. And that's like sort of like a backdoor pilot kind of thing.
That's kind of fun.
You know what I'm talking about?
So, yeah, this movie, it's pretty simple. It's about a man who loses his wife right after she gives birth to his daughter, Maddie, and he has to raise the daughter by himself, single father. And the ups and downs, the trials and tribulations of that. That's it. That's what we got.
Oh, wow. DeWanda's in, speaking of Jurassic Park, she's in the new one.
There it is. Okay. See? See all the connections? Them, Jurassic World. It's all happening. It's all of these, you know.
So, yeah. Who wants to go first? Should I go first?
Sure.
Well, yeah. I felt like this was a very delightful, fun movie. Like, it was, I think the acting was pretty solid all around. It did a really good job of balancing the, like, comedy and the seriousness. You know, it was like, I was surprised at how much I, like, laughed out loud. There was, like, a lot of, like, legitimately funny moments in it. Maybe it was a tad long, but, you know, that's just movies in general are usually too long. But it was nice. It was really, it was touching to see. Like, I don't have the experience being raised by a single parent. So I just imagine how hard, I could just imagine how hard that is. And to do it as a single dad is also pretty, it's like uniquely tough, because I think it's real that society kind of doesn't look at single fathers the same way they look at single mothers. I don't know if single fathers get as much support, even though obviously single moms deserve a lot of support. It's just that I think I've heard from people that I know that when it's a dad kind of raising a kid by themselves, it's a little bit harder. People don't have the same kind of, like, deference. But as we kind of see played out a little bit in the film, which was nice. But it was also just a good movie about family and about loss. And yeah, I don't know. It was touching. It was definitely a nice movie to watch at home with somebody you know, somebody you love, maybe.
Aww.
Yeah, it was sweet.
I really liked it too. I thought Kevin Hart's acting was really good. I was really shocked at some of the, like, scenes where he's crying, where they, like, don't cut away. They're like, we're just going to sit here and and we're going to, like, we're going to really focus on him and see him get through this. I thought that DeWanda, Melody, that really crushed it. The story was really interesting and moving. It did to me have that feeling of, like, something adapted from a book that, like, has, like, a lot of stuff that we don't have time to get into. There were, like, plenty of scenes where it was like, huh, I'm like, interested in what's actually happening during this passage of time, like, between other characters that we're not focusing on right now. You know, that kind of thing, like, where we you know, when he, like, leaves the daughter in Mississippi? Where are they from?
Chicago. He's in Boston. The family's in Chicago.
Family's in Chicago. When he leaves her in Chicago and he's like, you know, and we spend, I don't know how much time away from her before he goes back to her. It's just like, oh, like, is he FaceTiming her? Like, are we going to see these kinds of things? Like, little, little stuff like that. That's one example. But sort of happened throughout that I think is just indicative of these things adapted from novels that, like, then have to be squeezed into 2-hour movies. But I really enjoyed it. It was very moving. Kat cried the whole time. I don't think she had a dry eye the whole movie. And so, yeah, it was really cool. Can't wait to get into it and talk about it more specifically.
Yeah, man, I did enjoy this movie. I agree with Bray where I was like, man, this journey a little long. I really did enjoy Kevin. Because Kevin got to do the thing, man. He got to be still funny in it. And he still got to be dramatic in it. And the thing is, it's one of those... This one... Man, it sucks. This is one of the movies I feel like if you had just, like, a straight-up dramatic actor, people would have been like, oh my God, did you see it? Whereas I feel like sometimes comedians have that thing of having to prove they're real humans too, not just things that make you laugh. And that, respect-wise, is a little bit of a damper. So I'm happy, like, I'm happy that the director did just linger on his face. Like, you're right, James. Like, there's, like, 3 or 4 times, it's no cutaways. It's just, like, the camera shot is lingering on his face. Like, especially when he finds out that she passes away without the doctor saying it. It was, like, it was just on him. Like, in real time. And I'm, like, that feeling, in the hospital room, too, that feeling of, like, yo, there's nothing you can do, and, like, you just have to wait. And then, you know, hearing him talk about it later of, like, yo, I wasn't even allowed to just be in there. I thought was, like, you know, I can relate to that. I was like, that's some real shit. So I enjoyed it, man. I think my issue with the movie is, which is probably not the movie's fault, but I have a problem that is on Netflix, because, like, I feel like we heard about it, but then it went away so fast. It's like,
that's true.
It's like, it just felt like Yeah, for that weekend, it was dropped.
I feel like Netflix more... I was just saying this the other day, that Netflix, more than any other streaming service, maybe because it's the amount, mm-hmm. like, feels like it swallows movies. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, I've seen a lot of the HBO Max movies, and they, I guess they only do, like, one every, like, few weeks or mm-hmm. one every month or something like that. But, like, Netflix be dropping movies, like, nonstop, and... if you don't catch it and it's kind of gone, and because they don't really promote their films that much and they're like relying on buzz, but it's like, I don't know, like maybe something else was happening that week and then it's got, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it's so hard for Netflix movies to strum up buzz.
Did Kevin Hart also like recently say something that people were like, again, like, I feel like
he talked about cancel culture. He had an interview about yes. cancel culture, which people got mad
I feel
about.
Like, every single older comedian has been asked yeah. about cancel. I feel like it's the standard thing. Like whenever somebody has something to you know, report, some interviewer is like, "And what do you think about cancel culture?" You know, I'm not trying to defend what anybody says. I'm just saying it is annoying that we're at this point where every media outlet is trying to get some like. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they're fishing, yeah. they're digging.
But then when you answer the question,
something.
They're like, ooh, we trying to cancel you. It's like, man, shut. Like, my thing is, look, man, there's so much to worry about. And I'm like, at least when this movie came out, it's like this movie was produced by the Obamas. And it's like, to me, the message of this movie is getting drowned by everything else, where it's like, this is a single black dad. You know, a single black dad who... America is known to shit on, like, black dads, period. Like, whether they're in jail, whether it is, whether that. The amount of times we've seen movies or shows about a good black dad, not the uncle who got to come in and take over, but the dad. Like, it's so far in between. So to see this dude who is just trying to figure it out, I thought, like, it kind of, I don't know why, but it kind of hurt me a little bit. I was like, yo, man, I feel like this deserved more. Kevin was a bigger star than that. Like, the Obamas, like, higher ground. Was like, it felt like it deserved as much attention as Sex Life got. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. there's no reason I should see more promo for Sex Life than a movie produced by the Obamas and starring Kevin Hart. It just don't make sense to me, yo. It just really doesn't. And it's like... if this was Adam Driver, I'm pretty sure it would have worked out differently. And I feel very comfortable saying that. This was like, you know, Paul Rudd, some other white dude, it would have been treated differently.
It also came out, like, it didn't come out during awards season, right? And it came out in that, like, I feel like this came out in, like, what, March?
It came out Father's Day. Like, there was nothing else out. It came out Father's Day. It came out, like...
Wow.
Yeah, there was nothing else popping.
Come out? I thought this came out so long
nah,
ago.
Nah, bro. This was, like, not that long ago.
In June. Yeah, June 18th. Wow.
Like...
I mean, that is... It is what it is. I think it's true about the vast majority of Netflix. There's a Netflix film right now out with... John David Washington and like Alicia Vikander.
Right, I just saw the movie. I just saw the trailer.
I was like, I heard nothing about this. The only reason I know is because I was scrolling Netflix when I saw it on there.
I just want some of these movies. I do think, and I'm done my review, but just getting into it, I do think there's a thing of like, you know, it is harder to make movies like this. It was always hard. Like, it's harder now. But I do think, you know, if we want to see black people be able to be in movies where, again, like, he ain't a thug in this movie. It, like, no one's coming at him for his race. He's just literally a black person dealing with a humanistic issue. Yeah. I think we do have to figure out a way to, like, or studios or whoever has to figure out a way to support it so that more people can see it, so that we have a future of actually humanizing black people versus, like, having this big 6'7" black dude trying to save the world or, like, but fighting off. An alien or some shit.
I also just feel like I just want to voice this because I feel like Kevin Hart specifically gets attacked right before these big swings that he takes. Like right before Untouchables came out.
Or what was it called? What are they reading?
Untouchables. But it had it's a different name, right?
Oh, yeah,
it's a different name for the US release. But you know, he got his old tweets resurfaced. And also, that was right before Oscars. That was what that was. But, like, also, that movie was coming out. And then that movie comes out in January and it gets overlooked. Then like he, I just remember him being so excited talking about Fatherhood coming out in the summer. and then like, I don't know, like 3 weeks before it came out, like this cancel culture thing came out and it was just like, we don't want to hear about this. Just promote your movie. Like, why are we? And it, you know, and it just feels like the stuff gets shoved under the rug because of that. Like, and I think it's a unique thing that is happening to him. He keeps trying to like level up in these different ways.
It's not just him, but there's like, it's a select few people. But he's definitely one of those people who get targeted for sure, where it's like, and they're asking him questions, trying to get him to say something like that they can put a slap a headlight on. I remember they did this with Billy Crystal, I think, when he had a movie come out. And I read the interview and it was like, the headline made it sound like he went on some rant about cancel culture. And then when you actually read it, it was like literally like one sentence. Like he was like, I would love to talk about my movie and said something very small and flippant. And they took that one thing and they made it the headline of the article.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, we know that like even the New York Times does clickbait. Like, it's just like, I think it's more than that though, Bray. Yeah.
I think it's specifically like, to me, it usually happens when a black man, and I'm speaking from a black man's perspective, so I'm pretty sure like there's going to be people of different groups. Like, I remember when this happened and such. So I'm talking from a black man's perspective. It's something about when a black man tries to upgrade and like do something that is not what people expected, do more. It's like, I think about the same thing when like, you know, outside of acting, but like when LeBron, when the school was about to come out, it was like so many people were talking about LeBron and like his attitude and shit. And I was like, yo, every time it feels like some black dude wants to exceed a thing that he wasn't allowed to do, it's like, what can we do to break this down? Literally, I think about like the Oscars and it's like, yo, man, again, what you say wasn't cool. But again, I'm like, my man apologized like 3-4 years ago. And it's like, now we're bringing it back. And it's like, it didn't come back until he was awarded this thing that he worked hard for. It's like, when I think about the interviewer who we do not know the name of, who brought up cancel culture, we don't know that person. Like, we cannot sit here right now and be like, this person is famous, this interview did this. All we know is that Kevin Hart said he's tired of cancel culture because that's all that person wanted from him. That's all that clickbaity thing was. And it's like, it's an attempt to me to like stop that progress. It's like, what it seems like when you look at Hollywood, and I'm looking like the movies that black men in particular are getting greenlit, it is literally the gigantic black dude who is, you know, literally about to get even more jacked to fight and beat somebody up, to beat up like a robot, to beat up an alien.
Why are you talking about The Rock like that though?
I know, it ain't just The Rock.
The thing is, it ain't just The Rock. Like, I was watching this Kevin Hart interview with Don Cheadle that I know everyone's been posting because it's like super funny. But when you think about Don Cheadle is, to me, an actor that like, and Denzel, I think, are like the actors that like we at black people like really need to look at. It's like, you look at the Robert De Niro's, you look at the Al Pacino's, you look at like every normal looking white dude, right, who gets to be in these Oscar movies, who can go do a comedy. Don Cheadle's been able to do that. And he's a regular. And I mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean it in a good way. Like, he is a black dude who gets to achieve these things. And looking at Kevin Hart in his movies, like, he's just trying to do it. Like, he's trying to do the same thing Melissa McCarthy did. He's trying to do the same thing Robin Williams did. Literally, the comedian who's like, yo, I'm more than just these jokes. Let me be a human. And like, people just won't let this man do it. And it's like frustrating to watch, yo. It's so frustrating. Cause like, even if he does it on his own and get black people to support him, like he did with the Obamas, there's still a white reviewer or interviewer who's gonna try to do something to take him down at some point. Like, that's literally every single way. It's just frustrating, man. Cause it's like, God damn, what are you supposed to do? Like, Kevin Hart is the biggest comedian of all time. Like, factually. Money-wise, like, factually, he has done more than any comedian, black, white, Asian, indigenous, man, woman has done. Right? And yeah, people still are like, hey, man, that's enough. that's enough. You know, it's just disheartening sometimes.
We cool, brother. we already saw. I mean, Jumanji was funny, but all right, cool.
It does also speak to his success that he's like, he hasn't been canceled and he has he keeps getting to do that. Like, he was did that Snoop Dogg thing with the Olympics. Right. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Companies have been like, this is fine.
Yeah, no, he has somehow managed to, he has that J.K. Rowling thing where it's like, we canceling you. And they're like, all right, cool. I'm back. Like,
I think it's different than J.K.
I'm not going.
Yeah, it's definitely different than J.K. Rowling. She's like,
I do well, think not in terms of what
she doubles down on her.
Not in terms of.
Yeah. But I think it's the acknowledgement. In terms of
frequent canceling and like, yeah. But still new shit keeps coming.
Well, I also think that Kevin isn't stupid enough to like not understand when he messes up. It's like, if you mess up and you don't know, you apologize and learn from it. Whereas I think some of these other people are like, I said what I said. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Nobody's going to cancel Harry Potter. You know what I mean? They might say they're canceling Jake, but you know, we still going to go to Harry Potter World.
Listen, there's a Harry Potter store in New York.
What you think? We ain't going to go to Harry Potter World?
Hey, listen. Hey, I'm back next week. Let's go to Harry Potter World, baby. Come on. Let's go.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have, but it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. In April, soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aid. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
This episode is brought to you by Lay's. Lay's potato chips proudly grow potatoes on over 100 farms across North America. That's right, you're living in a nation full of golden stuff. From 23 million potatoes in Virginia to 366 million potatoes in California in 2022 alone, you can thank your farmers for making your Stay Golden moments possible. Lay's, stay golden. To learn more, head to goldengrowshere.com.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But the site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
This episode is brought to you by Snickers Ice Cream. The only thing that'll chill you out when you're about to find your zen and your neighbor whips out their new drum set. Made with 100% real peanut butter ice cream, smooth caramel, crunchy peanuts, and covered in a chocolatey coating. When you're out of sorts, Snickers Ice Cream chills you out. Buy it now at your local retailer.
Anyway, let's talk about this movie. I do like how it starts. I thought the directing and was nice. You know what I mean? This was tough
because I didn't know. I hadn't seen any trailer and I didn't know. I don't know how much the trailer leans into like us knowing when he's single. Like if we know he's single when she's just a baby, or if we know that he's single when she's older. But like setting it up where it's like a funeral and then they're cutting to and from her being pregnant. I was like, she's going to die in childbirth. I was It was too much. The tension of the first maybe 10, maybe 15, 20 minutes of this movie. Cause I don't remember how long they took that out. But like all of the tension of that was too, it was too much to deal.
It was even harder when you realize that like she was able to have the baby and everything was going well. And then something happened.
Right. Cause you thought she was going to die during childbirth because it was early, and then and it's true, like there's so much tension there, like I, like you just keep, they're like, it's like a happy moment, you're like, but I can't be happy, I know she's gonna die. It was surprising,
and I'm happy we got a chance to see her too, because I feel like sometimes in these movies like we don't see the love and like the woman that's adored. It's like, because again, this movie does have one of those situations where like something happens to like the protagonist is like wife or girlfriend, and that propels him to like do whatever he has to do in this movie.
Right. But in this case, like that is the
story. Yeah.
That is the story, you know, whereas sometimes it's like, and the woman's going to die. And now the, you know,
like, and now he has to find the courage he didn't have before.
Right. It wasn't about that. No, it was more like, this is the inciting. This is the thing that, which is why we have a movie, because like he was gonna raise his child anyway. Yeah. But now it's a lot harder.
I had a hard time watching when she gets sick and he was like, "What's happening to her?" That was so tough. And then physically watching him being pushed out of that room, I was like, "Cause then everyone's like looking at you for answers, and you're like, "Bro, I don't know." Like, when the mom comes up with the gifts, like, "What happened?" And all he can do is like just like look and kind of point. I'm like, that, oh my god. And also Kevin was great in that scene, bro. I'm sorry, I don't care what the wife tells me,
he was
great in that scene,
good,
man.
in this opening scene,
yeah,
he was good throughout the whole movie to me, man. I think like
he's been doing really well. I mean, like, I like whatever problems, you know, in terms of like Bryan Cranston's casting was the upside, like that was still a solid movie, and he was really good in that too.
I mean again, watching that scene, and it's like one of those things where like I don't know, maybe because my acting teacher is such an asshole, I love that they had that shot on him when he was in the hallway, because you could see that he wasn't like pre-crying. One of my teachers always goes, like, if it's a crying scene, like a lot of actors try to work themselves up so they can like get to it. So when they start, like, if you look at certain movies, they start the scene, and when it cuts to like James and James has to cry, his eyes are already kind of reddish before the thing happens. You already kind of pre-did it. Whereas like when you look at Kevin, that's a skill, man. It's all in real time, bro. Like, he's like, yeah, what's happening? What's going on with her? And then the lady comes out, and it just rests on his face. And even in that same shot, it just widens out just so the parents come in. It's not even like we cut away from him. Yeah, it's like
I was genuinely shocked at the way this was directed and how well it was acted. Like, it was like, it was so shocking. He did such a great job.
But like, that's a star vehicle, man. It's like, hey, bruh, this movie is resting on you and your performance, and I'm not going to shy away from it. It's like, I'm looking at you. Like, we're looking at you.
I keep thinking about, like, this is talking too much about this because we've already said it before, but I keep thinking about, like Clint Eastwood, when he was doing Million Dollar Baby, before that, he was famously talking about some movie where he was crying, but he chose to turn away from the camera to cry, and he got shit for that, the critics or whatever. And then in Million Dollar Baby, he does the same thing, but then he moves the camera to the other side of him so you see his face when he cried. Like, it's him trolling the reviewer. And so it was just, I was really thrown that, like, I mean, you know, I was very, very much like, yeah, this dude's a comedian, but he acted the shit out of this.
I think comedians, man, listen, I think you can take a comedian and put them in a drama, but I don't think you can take a dramatic actor and put them in a comedy without people around them,
well.
Yo.
Yeah,
I just don't think you can do it. Like, fuck out of here.
Tell that to John Hamm.
Wait, what does that mean? Isn't John Hamm, isn't he a comedian? Isn't he technically a comedian? He just is handsome as hell.
Nah, what? Bro.
Like a comedic actor.
He started on Mad Men. That wasn't
comedic. No, before then, wasn't he like a guy who...
Was he doing stand-up?
Not doing stand-up, but like a comedic actor is what he wanted, but he just looks like John Hamm. Isn't that the thing about him, or am I making that up?
Would you call Don Cheadle a comedian?
I would call him like an actor.
Whether he wanted to do stuff or not, I feel like he was definitely a dramatic actor.
I mean he's dramatic, but I know he's like to me, Melissa's he's like Don
saying,
Cheadle.
You're right, Jira.
Yeah, I think he's a dude who likes comedy. He just is handsome.
But I'm saying,
as hell.
Would you call Don Cheadle? Would you say the same thing about Don Cheadle?
I would call Don Cheadle a comedic actor. I would like he could do
a comedic actor.
He could be a comedic actor.
All right. I'm just trying to figure out what's the lanes? What are we saying?
Only because it's like one of those things where like. The only reason I even know that is because when I did live in LA way back
just
when.
Because he wanted to be doing comedy doesn't mean he was a comedian. He didn't do comedy.
I mean, he did like a comedic role every now and then, but his big role is the dramatic. Like, for instance, but for him to be a comedian or a comedic actor is like, I guess for me is like, I don't consider him a comedian. I do consider him a comedic actor because he can deliver comedy and be funny in it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the reason I consider it. I mean, like, I would consider him like Don Cheadle. Like, Don Cheadle can do both. I think John Hamm can do both.
Yeah.
Right. But he's a...
You're saying he's a dramatic... So I guess you would call Don Cheadle a dramatic actor who can do comedy?
The funniest actors, like, I don't consider Shia LaBeouf a comedian, even though I probably should, because he literally was a clown. He was a literal clown. But you know what I mean?
Like, even that's different because Shia LaBeouf started as a comedic actor because he was on like a sitcom.
Right.
You know, like a Disney sitcom. But
then
sitcom.
What about Whoopi? Because Whoopi started in like dramas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Whoopi's definitely a comedian.
Yeah, she's a comedian.
She was actually a stand-up.
Yeah.
But her first couple jobs were dramas.
Right. Jump to Jack Flash?
Color Purple was her first one.
No, that wasn't her first one.
Oh, that was it? Oh.
Was it?
I don't know.
That wasn't her first
episode. We already talked about this on that episode, and I do not remember.
I do not remember. Oh, here we go.
Also, why am I defending John Hamm? I'm not defending John Hamm. This is not the platform.
So this whole beginning though was so frustrating. The parent, you know, but it all makes sense, right? Specifically Alfre Woodard, but both parents and everybody is like, man, Kevin Hart's not going to be able to raise this kid. Like, no one, like,
citizen.
No one thinks he's going to be able to. But we hear it most from the moms.
Yeah.
This was really hard because they were like, they were very much like, you have to bring this baby home. You cannot do this by yourself. And like, when he said there are no tech jobs there, it was just like, whew. That was
like,
so real
to me. Hey, I already thought about this. It's like, this isn't just like some happen. Like, I thought about that. I won't be able to pay for anything if I went there. I mean, yeah, you're right, James. That was tough too. Cause I'm like, if something went down like that, I'm pretty sure that's how everyone would treat me. And like, people don't even trust me to like babysit if Rachel ain't here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I'm good with kids. Like, no one even trusts me to like watch kids for an hour.
This happened to me, if this happened to me, that's how everyone would feel. would feel exactly how they treated Kevin Hart. But the thing that I loved about it is, even though we could tell it was coming down really heavy from Alfre Woodard, the movie does a great job of not being like, this woman's evil or wrong, or
she just got concerned.
She just was deeply concerned, and you know, and obviously grieving over the loss of her daughter. And I thought that that was very well done.
Yeah, and they humanized her in a great way because you're right. She could have been evil, but even at one point, you know, she is genuinely concerned about him. Like, I think she even, she talks to him about, like, going out again and, like, hey, you know, maybe you not, she doesn't say it and it was like, maybe you should move on. Like, literally everyone is now concerned for him.
This, it's a great example of how you can have an antagonist that doesn't need to be a two-dimensional character, you know? Yeah. Like, she's three-dimensional, like, it, you understand the reasons why she's doing what she's doing, and also you're like, whoa, you're being a little harsh. And then also Kevin is also, his character is also like being a little proud, like it's like it's both, you know, both are kind of happening, where it's like Tess and I are like, well, why wouldn't you want help? Like, like if she all, I understand not moving to Minnesota, but when she was like, I'll stay here for 6 months, I'm like, maybe not six, but three. Let's do that. You know? Like,
but I will say,
please, thing, like, this... I would love for you to stay here so that I have a like live at home babysitter, like, or somebody who could help me, you know, when this daughter's up at night.
One of my friends, her mom has been with her for 3 months now. And, you know, especially because like Kevin and Alfred Weirder's character don't get along. And it's like, that's, I've seen that loving mom and daughter situation, and I can see it get strained, because now what's happening is like, with all the help, the daughter or Kevin is probably going to want to raise the kid a certain kind of way, and the parents gonna be like, well, I know best, I already raised the kid. So now you got a conflict happening in your house with your kid, and it's like, how do you determine, like,
I kind of agree with that, but I'm also like, it's a baby, like, I don't know how much like, I don't know what, I don't know how much conflict you should be given, you know, it's like, what you got? You got to feed it. You got to change the diaper. You got to put it to sleep. Like, it's not, you're not doing too much here. You know what I mean? Like, and if she's like, this is how you wrap a diaper, I'd be like, sure, go ahead and wrap the diaper.
But it's, and then his, but his pride really does come into play here, even though they don't, even though he doesn't, obviously he would never say that out out loud to them. Yeah. But like, it's certainly a pride thing of like, if she's around and he knows that she is judging how he's doing it, he's gonna, that's gonna also instigate
for
fights,
sure.
Right.
For sure.
And so like, so that's why he's just like, he was very all or nothing, but like, please just leave when my mom leaves.
Yeah.
We need this buffer. We need whatever this is. And we don't know how long that was either. Like, we don't know how long.
Yeah.
That was,
she showed up randomly for the doctor's appointment, which I'm like, I'm happy she did. But I'm like, she was in shock almost.
For the doctor's.
Yeah, that was wild.
Was almost in shock when he didn't mess it up. And the doctor was like, yo, you know, your wife will be proud. Like it took that. It took that moment for her to be like, all right, let me let this dad father his own kid.
Right.
You know?
No, I was just going to say, I do think that, like, if it's a single mom, less people would be like, how are you going to do this? But like, you know, like, they'd be like, whatever you need to, whatever support or help you need, you know, like, they're not like, you're going to scoot his baby. You better give us your baby.
Literally, they were like, she was like, give me the kid. I was like, yo. This is wild. Like, this is, I will say, I loved his friend support system, because I think how they handled Rail in this movie, I'm very, like, I like when they have comedians, but they don't let them go off the rails. I feel like after a while, some people just let motherfuckers just start improvising and stuff. And it was like, no, man, Rail played a friend who was a human, not just here to deliver jokes. Also, I realized Rail can make a lot of things funny that I'm not sure are supposed to be funny. Like, when he was watching the baby walk, and I knew it was supposed to be, I knew he was being very emotional,
no,
but I was cracking up.
No, I think it was supposed to be fun. Like, he, because it hit him so hard. Like, I don't think it was, like, it was like, why did this hit him that hard?
Yeah.
That thing was killing me.
That was funny. Like, he was fun. No, you're right, Gerard, because it's like, he was in the pocket with all the improv. Like, because sometimes you'd be watching movies, you're like, all right, just, enough of the improv. Like,
yes,
like we could tell.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It's just going on. It's like, doesn't feel real. But, like, his was, like, just, like, it kept, it like, just real enough, like, pushing that line. And then he would, and Rel's also just another great actor. Like,
he
great,
really is,
comedic
man.
Comedic actor. Yeah.
Like, I mean, watching him, like, we, you know, I think we've seen him when he was in New York. you know, during the Friends of the People era, but like watching him now, and it's so funny because watching him, and to me, I don't know what it is, but watching him embrace like the adultness in himself, like the gray hair, I feel like his body physically isn't just comedic relief. He feels grown. He feels like the right. funny grown man in this movie who's like, in this, he's supposed to be kind of a ladies' man. And then he doesn't even play that shtick up of like,
yeah,
right.
You know, I really like what he's doing. I'm very happy he gets to lead his first movie, his movie with Yovan this year, I think. Is it coming out this year? Oh, let me look that up. It's like him.
Yeah.
Yovan.
We know he's this is Uncle
he's
Dave.
A movie before.
Erasure. Like, how you going
to. Uncle Drew.
Uncle Drew.
Oh, Drew. Snap.
Uncle Drew. You read Uncle Drew.
I'm so sorry. I forgot all about Uncle Drew. We reviewed
it. It's the lead his first movie. What you talk about?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, baby.
I'm
Uncle
sorry.
Drew, baby.
That's my bad. We even went to a screening of Uncle Drew. How did I forget that? I'm sorry. But no, I like him, man. I really like everything he did in here. What is it called? Damn, he got movies on movies lined up. Good God.
I mean, remember, he's been in a lot of movies. He was in freaking Bird Box, or what was it called?
Yeah, Bird
Wait,
Box.
He was in Bird Box? He was.
Yeah. He was the dude that knew. He was the nerd dude.
Wow. This is insane. Yeah, I'm looking at his IMDb. He got like 7 movies lined up.
He was in something else recently too, where he Bad was trip. Like such a Space Jam.
Oh, Space Jam. You know, he was in Judas like, and the Black Messiah.
Space Jam.
Yeah,
Space Jam.
Yeah, he was a very small part of Judas and the Black Messiah. But
yeah,
you know they had to get him in there.
Of course, they got all their folks in that jump. But no, man, watch the movie. Like even skipping across, it's like I was very happy when DaWanda showed up because how they introduced her I thought was so cute because I also liked that they aged the daughter up a little bit. Like she went from being like a baby to like now she out here making cereal and waffles and like he's like, yeah, the crazy one's mine. And I love that interaction of, yeah, we're being set up. And I liked the daughter.
And that friend is funny too.
Yes. What is his name? I've seen him on a train in New York all the time. The freak is his name?
Oh yeah, I just
had it up. Anthony something. Anthony.
I've seen him so much. I'm like, oh, I kind of like.
He's from Barry.
No, Hank. Anthony. I literally just had it up. I'm sorry. Anthony Kerrigan.
I love the Wanda in this jump, man.
Yeah, she was great. Kat and I both struggled with her name being Liz, but then we really liked how they handled like, oh, but you can call me. You know, she had these nicknames.
Yeah,
the Swan. That was really sweet. But for the first few scenes, when it was just we was calling her Liz or Lizzie or whatever, I was like, I feel weird.
But I like the movie even addressed it. It's like, is it weird that my name is Liz? You know what I mean? It's like
yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's super weird.
This is strange.
Call me Hank. But also, it's one of those things too. I'm really happy that we saw this from. Kind of a male perspective where like I feel like you see these movies and when it's time for like the single parent to date, the kid does become in question. Like, when do you introduce the kid? When do you forget to do, something that you normally do with the kid? And like Kevin Hart had that moment where, you know, look, man, I was trying to play early morning Twister, you know, and he ended up missing.
Yeah, and that wasn't his. It really wasn't his fault. It was so. that was probably the worst the his mother-in-law ever was when she was also like, yeah, but it wasn't just an accident. Like it was your fault. Like basically, it was like it was your fault.
Like,
it was
how?
Like, whoa, come on now.
Yeah.
First of all, this school has a messed up policy. Yeah. You know that you can't. She can't wear pants. Like she has to wear a skirt, and then.
Also, this boy looked up her skirt. Like, you should, like, did he get punished?
No.
They ain't punished this kid at all.
I had so much trouble with these. I didn't go to a Catholic school. I had so much trouble with all of these rules.
You
did,
all
right?
All of these rules bothered
second
me
and third grade,
so
second and third
much.
Grade. So basically, went like around her age, same thing. And yeah, we had to wear a uniform. The girls had to wear skirts. And then, like, then they had these things where, like, if you, like, they had this reward system where you can win, like wear any clothes you want,
dress down day,
dress down day.
Yeah.
You know,
Dag, that's crazy. I didn't know you went to one.
Reward.
I didn't know you went to one. I went to one from kindergarten. Oh my God. I went to a Catholic schools from kindergarten to 12th grade, yo.
Wait, you went to a Catholic school your whole
life, bro?
Whole life, bro. What? Wait, did I not know this?
Yeah, like literally,
your whole life.
So I went to like. So a you Catholic
can say
school.
You can say Hail Marys in your sleep.
Yeah. Listen, man, I know all. Like, what? Really, I went to a Catholic school
K through 12.
It was such a confusing time. It was like Catholic school. But then, like, my family was heavily Baptist.
This is the first time we're talking about
this. No, man, I was in that thing, boy. I was in that thing, man. It is funny because those rules, I remember girls couldn't wear pants until I got to high school. And that wasn't even like early. I want to say I was a sophomore because the juniors and seniors. Girls like they wanted to wear pants, and it was a big deal. Our uniforms were green and white from kindergarten through eighth grade, and when I got to high school, it was like khaki and white.
He leaned into the mic and then said, "We don't really care."
Wow,
speak for yourself.
When the colors were, which if it was the lower school,
listen, man,
you may not care.
It's intricate. Okay, did you notice her uniform was like a green one? Okay,
and it was the same. And it's the same complex, right? Like same school, like kindergarten through.
No,
okay, no, you went to you went to different Catholic schools,
different buildings.
Yeah, so it's like kindergarten through fourth was in one school. Fifth through eighth was in another, and then high school was just a whole different school. Yeah, man. And those are expensive. And those are so expensive. You had to get like a grant or something if you were like from a certain area.
That's incredible.
But their rules are strict, man. Like watching this little girl have to be forced to put a dress on.
I really liked how they handled this particular transitional sort of phase of us seeing his daughter, whose name is now escaping me, Maddie, getting to know Swan and them spending time together, and then Kevin Hart starting to forget like little things or like being upset about little things and then not understanding anything, but it is seemingly clear that like Maddie's having a great time and likes Swan.
Right. Yeah.
But because he's tripping up in these ways that he believes he's tripping up, or it's these huge fallacies, he's like, oh, I have to stop. You know, I really liked that. That really rang true to real behavior.
When she was like, it's too soon, you know, She's not ready for this. And it's like, is she not ready or are you not ready?
Yeah.
It's like,
that's a tough one.
It was like similar to like the separation. He was like, oh, she's gonna like, I mean, this was at the end of the movie, but it was like, she's gonna have separation anxiety. And then she just like runs off. And he's like, Matt,
I'm gonna just go look. I'm gonna just go look real quick.
it's like, yeah, you're gonna have separation anxiety.
That's so crazy, man. It's so funny being around like kids and seeing them do different things that like literally grow up, like go from like not being able to talk to like run, and like see them try to form words. So I can't imagine what it's like to be just a single parent and it's just you and the kid. Like literally when she goes, it's just always just us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We need more people. That's so real, man. And also you can think about that kid is saying that not just for her own sake, but like, yo, we you and me, bro, like you need a break. Like I don't know, man. I really enjoyed this movie, man. I thought it was cool. Like anytime you see a black dad doing right, I'm always here for it. Like I'm literally like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And it was nice because this movie, again, it felt like it wasn't made just for black people, right? Like, and again, nothing wrong with movies about like inner city stuff, but it was nice to just like have like, oh, this is just like a middle class, you know, dad family Like, he's not like, he's not struggling with, there's no like drugs, there's no, you know, like cops shooting at people. Like, it was just like a very human, normal experience. And like, most of the cast happens to be Black, you know what I mean? And it was that, that itself was like very fun. And they found really, I was surprised at how many times like they found moments of like fun and laughter. Like, even, even the boss, like the boss was funny. Like, it was like the but banter see, between them.
That's so cool to me, bro. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's what life is, though, man. I feel like sometimes you see these movies and it's just so down and sad. And I'm like, even when you're poor or if you have like a lot of issues, like, it may not be a lot, but there are moments where like, sometimes things may get so bad, you just laugh at it. Like, it's just like, what else happens? It, like, people treat things like, everything has to be either happy or sad. Whereas like, there is an in-between. And this movie did a really good job of balancing the in-between of the good times and the bad. Like, it, I just, it's made me very happy to see that and happy to see a Black dude as a part of that. You know what I mean? Like, it just was like, cool. Like, yeah, bruh.
Yeah.
We can do this too.
The white noise bit where he's like, he was like white noise, and then he just plugs in a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, like, but it worked. It worked. The vacuum but it did worked. Work.
And then at work, he's got this huge super. She likes vacuum cleaners.
And then the lady comes in. I even like how that worked out. Like the, like,
I loved that. I mean, I thought that I could see that coming, but I really loved that. Like, it, 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 the fact that, like, that's the first presentation that goes wrong, the parents that he's presenting to are just like, oh, this, this works cool. for me, you know?
Because that's what life really is, man. That. Like, think about how many times, like, we've had to deal with somebody and they're late to a meeting because, like, oh, man, you know, my kid had to go crazy. Like, we don't shun them. It's like, yeah, man, your kid, shit happens. Like, that's. Yeah, that's what happens.
Kids be going crazy. Like,
man. And it's tricky because I do want to address this. Is like, this movie, I was looking it up, wasn't written for Kevin, like, because it is an adaptation of a book. It, it, not saying it was written for a white dude, but it wasn't written for a Black specific performer.
I mean, his name's Matt.
Was the person who broke the, who wrote the book white? Was the person like whose experience is based off of
white? I think there's like two fatherhood books, so one of them is a white dude, but let me make sure this one is not. That one.
Oh, I also really liked. I really liked the scene where he where he runs up on the parent meeting, and they're like, "This is for mothers," and he's like, "Well, it says parents first of all."
It did. It said parents outside. She's like, "This is for moms." She's like, "Hey, man, what you mean? Come I'm on, now.
Wow, this dude is like the white guy wrote it."
And then he just had a list. He was like, "Look, I just need you. I listen. I need you to do it. Why is the crying? How does the crying stop?"
Okay. And she got two poops.
Yeah, she got two. There's two types of poop. One's just a stream. The other's just it's a machine.
That was funny. No, it was a white dude wrote this. Two kisses for Maddie.
Okay,
Matthew. Yeah, two kisses for Matt. Yeah, Matthew, you're right. Look at that. That's kind of, that's cool. Too.
And I
like
think my
that.
Point about it is like, it just shows that you can just, I think about it because I've heard people like, you know, Lena Dunham and other people talk about like, they don't know how to write for, you know, Black actors or something like that. And I was like, no, man, you can just write a good part and cast a Black person in it or another person of color in it. Like, you don't have to cast a white dude or a white woman in it. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool. Like, I don't know if you guys seen the interview going and doing the rounds with director Steve McQueen, and he's just like going in on those. Oh yeah, bro, I love it. Like, share. He goes in on these directors in such a way. He's like, I don't understand how you can have all these movies set in America and don't cast Black people in it. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Which it doesn't. Like, it generally doesn't make sense. And I'm looking at this movie. Go ahead.
But when the interviewer was like, "And why do you think that is?" It's
and
like,
he just like,
I don't know, ask them.
Points to them.
Just pointed to the other the white
them.
Directors in the room.
And the funny
that
thing is, all
Black
of those directors are all acclaimed and have, I think when you go back to them, I'm about to pull it up right now, none of them have had a lead Black actor in a movie. And a lot of them do movies that are a slice of American life. Not like this movie is about like the Italian mafia. It's like, no, a dad
like The Descendants is like a dad, his wife dies, and like we try and figure the shit out. Yeah, it's just a family. Right, and it's like, family. Can do the thing. This movie is proof you can do the thing and just cast people ain't gotta be white every time.
Well, we want to make it universal,
Don't you do this.
Universal looks.
Don't
well,
do
I'm
this.
Just saying, when you think of just, is this the typical American family, what color do you picture?
Don't do this.
White.
This brings you back to,
oh my God, that's so sad. But no, I mean, but listen, man, it's so real.
But anyway, I not even talking to Hollywood, that's just in general, man. I'm just like, we can do it. Like, this movie's proof. You can let non-white people star in movies that don't involve their race or discrimination or like some type of fucking affliction that white people put on them. Good God. Sorry. It was just so fun. It was so refreshing to watch this movie. I'm like, it's just so damn. It's so refreshing to watch this movie, man. I don't know.
Listen, I thought this movie was great. There was just one part that I thought could have been slightly improved. Right. So Kevin Hart, right? He's there. He's changing the baby's diaper. He balls it up. He tosses it.
Oh, yeah.
Goes through the hoop. Yeah, yeah. Lands into the thing, right? But then it was like, there was that second one.
Yeah.
It like splatters all over the thing. And I'm like, nah. I feel like right before he's about to do that, Steel comes in out of nowhere. He's like, hey, man, let me get that. And he takes it. He balls it up. And he's like, listen, I don't want to make this, but I have a feeling you're about to miss this.
I'm here for this.
Oh my goodness.
Then he tosses it in, and it sinks it.
Well, no, it goes boom, no. Boom, boom, boom.
All right, yeah, no, it hits around, and it rolls around.
See, I thought you were going to say, James, he does it goes and realizes he's going to like miss it. So he takes out his hammer and just like shoots the poop, and the poop just like,
Oh, yeah. And then that obliterates everywhere. It. Doesn't go everywhere.
Yeah, disintegrates
it
poop.
It fully disintegrates. I would accept that, too. Yeah, I like that.
Sometimes I feel like Braylock looks at us such disdain that I think his camera freezes, but then he blinks. I'm like, oh, no, he just has nothing he wants to say to us.
Just waiting for you to be done.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to taste the flavoriest flavor to ever flavor?
Mmm.
Snapple is ridiculously flavorful. And you can uncap a Snapple real fast with every bottle. Like, cows produce more milk when they listen to music. Come on, leave the ridiculousness to Snapple. And grab one of your favorites that pack a punch. Explore all of the delicious flavors at Snapple.com.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Gene Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ke Huy Quan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Liu, and Ben Wang. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. So if we feel like the film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. And if it doesn't really help the cause at all, don't give it anything. On count of three, we're going to raise our ratings for Fatherhood. Okay. Three. I wonder what James is going to get. Two. One. What?
Damn, Gerard, go home. What are you talking about?
All right. Two black fists is only somehow a white palm.
That's okay. I gave it two black fists myself. Listen, so I would have gave
it a fist, but then for some reason I listened to Braylock's goddamn description. And to me, the movie is fantastic. I love this movie. Everyone should watch this movie. But when I think about does this movie help more leading black actors in Hollywood? I don't know if Kevin Hart movies help other black actors, because Kevin Hart is Kevin Hart, almost like this anomaly, and it's not on him, but Kevin Hart movies don't feature new black people in them. Like if I watch a Jonah Hill or Judd Apatow movie, it's going to be.
But what about?
Melody Heard?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Kevin Hart movies.
Sorry, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right.
Come on now.
I'm sorry, you're right. Come I was on, thinking Melody. Of like adults. You're right.
She was cute. And you know that. You know that right. Kid nope, actors nope. go up like.
Wait, can I redo it?
If you're they right. start
you're
young,
right. you're right.
Man,
can I redo
she
it?
Gonna
can
be
I redo
big.
It? Can I redo it?
Come on.
Okay,
baby.
You're right. I forgot about her. I'm sorry.
Three black fists.
I was thinking. I did.
Don't
that's
forget
on me.
About Melody,
I was thinking
baby.
Of adults, and I was like, "That's not."
How
I'm
do
sorry.
You
I don't know
because
she was great. I'm sorry. Y'all go. I'll think about my explanation later.
Know. Also, I mean, not. I mean, obviously, Rel's career has been helped by other things, but it's still good for. He was good in this movie too. It's good. It helped, it continues on. Alfre Woodard, obviously, she already. Already a legend, but still she was given, she was doing some nice, great acting there from her. Hey, this movie is definitely not going to get any nominations for her. They overlook.
They do.
Oh yeah. But he's so good in it. I hope they can't.
I mean, it would be nice to at least get a Golden Globe for my man. You know what I'm saying? Oh no, we don't do those anymore. Never mind.
Hell yeah.
I
don't think we're doing it.
Or do they not even do the awards?
Right? I don't think they're doing it.
Oh, damn.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think they legit. Yeah, I think they legit got canceled.
Well.
A thing that was canceled that was actually canceled, most right. times.
And why again? Because they were too white and people were like, they're too white?
Also,
something like that.
And they were like, we're tired of this. We can't please you guys. So they didn't get canceled, they left is what happened. They were like,
They're like, fine.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that. We don't have to do this.
Oh, y'all complaining about racism? Forgive our white souls. Y'all just take it. We'll take our money and run.
No.
Did I say something wrong? What did I say?
No.
UCB Lily was like, hey, y'all talk about racism.
All right.
We can't. Try. Y'all blaming us. Here's a panel.
Good luck getting on a Herald team, Gerard.
I don't know. They were like, they left it with some people of color. They were like, hey, listen, here goes some minorities to take over and not profit off the theater like we did. Wow, that got, this isn't political. I don't know why that got so real. I feel like I got silent after I said it.
Neither is any of that. That's not
political.
It's definitely
not political, and it's certainly pretty, there's at least 60% of the audience that's like, what are they talking? Anywho, thank you so much for listening. I gave it a black fist.
You're right. I forget her. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to forget her. Yeah,
for the same reason.
Melody and everybody else. I mean, honestly,
and everybody else.
I also just will say that I think that Kevin Hart taking swings like this is even though it's Kevin Hart, it's still a fist because I think it will inspire.
Now, maybe Rel will get to do a movie like this.
And also inspire future actors to be like, oh, wow, you can do that. You don't have to just be in a box. So that's it.
So thank you for listening. You can follow us at Black Man Podcast. BlackManPodcast.com is our website. We have links to merchandise. We also have links to a defunct Patreon. We got a year's worth of episodes on there. So if you want to listen to those, it's $5 a month. And then until you're good and ready to leave. Also, there's Forever Dog Plus.
Hey, Forever Dog Plus, baby.
Sign up for that. You don't have to listen to commercials. Sign up for that. For all Forever Dog podcasts. That's pretty cool. And if you rate and review us on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. We'll read your review on the air. That's pretty cool, I think.
Unless it's a bad one, then it's like, then we're going to be mad.
Yeah, then we're not going to, we won't read it.
Well, if it's a 5-star, then we have to. That's what you said.
No, I'm just kidding. You're right,
some
we will.
People have done that, right? People have been like, here's 5 stars, but also, the fuck is up with this?
100%. They're like, this is the problem with your podcast.
Here's 5 stars.
I think I read all
trick
these,
them
though.
To thinking that this is good, and then they're going to learn that I actually hate this.
You can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, jamesthirdcomedy.com.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. I want to say this again before we leave, because I know the movie's yeah, coming out soon. I, Gerard Milligan, am not watching. Man. I'm not watching.
What?
Man. I'm not watching.
What are you saying?
I'm not watching Blank Schnee? Man. No, what's imagine
Batman?
A word.
Batman? What?
It's two words. The first half of the person's name and his second half is man. No.
Wait. Blank man
no.
With Damon Wayans?
Man is two. He has two names. It's like blank man, but instead of blank, he has a different word for that. And then man is the second part of his name. And it's coming out and it's a horror movie. And I'm not going to see that movie because I'm going to try to review it on the podcast. So I want to make sure y'all know I'm not going to see
horror
man.
Horror movie. He's not saying.
You're talking about Candyman?
The mirrors, the camera's a reflection. Bruh, stop this.
Is that what you mean, Candyman?
No,
Okay, listen, now here's the thing. Neither one of us can say it either because in the movie, somebody said it after somebody else said it 4 times, and that counted as the 5th time.
All right.
So all right. I'm stopping this. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog!
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!